I prefer that you call me Missy. Missy spelled M-I-C-I and pronounced M-I-S-S-Y. That's right. You need a pen? Grab one. M-I-S-S-Y. That's how you pronounce Missy. If this is your first time on the show, you're welcome to Before Now Podcast. Before Now Podcast is a weekly talk show where my guest and I discuss different subjects of life in relation to how we used to see them versus how we see them now. Oh, ye millennials and Gen Zs, get in yet, because you know, as always, this matter, it concerns you. Today on the show, my guest and I will be discussing something very, very important. Like I mentioned in the last episode, this subject is really important. It's the subject of making money, and I just cannot wait for this conversation to start. My guest for today is no other person, but an amazing person. In fact, I have my reason for saying he's amazing. Don't worry, I won't tell you. My guest for today is Folare Adeboye, co-founder and CEO of F&K Savings. He's also the co-founder of Diaspora Homes and Properties. He's an entrepreneur, financial business consultant, and an idea developer. See, this is a bio. It's hooking me in the throat, but then I'll proceed. You know, Folare is also a Tony Alumelu Foundation alumni, a Founder Institute nominee, a Corporate Financial Institute fellow, and a recipient of several entrepreneurial awards. His interests include helping people, youth especially, secure their future all around. Folare, you're welcome on the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Oh, so great. So yeah, today we're talking about making money. And like always, we're going to talk about it before and now. So, okay. Folare, what was your first experience, you know, with making money? Or what really drove you to actually make money? Like the first time that you earned money? When was that?
I think thank you for that question. Growing up, it was like a should I say we'll get inside.
Oh, okay. Sort of.
And we're not allowed to do things ourselves.
Oh, wow.
It was just like a triangular movement from school to your house and then to church on Sundays. Yeah. And also, you know, it was like that till I entered the university. Aside from family friends coming around, and I think I did some running some errands for my parents, and then they give you, oh yeah, you did it well, take 1,000, take this amount.
Oh wow, you were earning 1,000 when? When were you earning 1,000 there?
That was 2010 thereabouts. So,
oh wow,
yeah,
that's
so
a lot of money. You were rich.
But you know, for me to earn 1,000 there,
you would have done like a lot of stuff.
A month's worth of job and all those things. So yeah, I got into the university, and you know, 100 level wasn't that. It was just, you know, me focusing on my academics. And then 300 level thereabout, I think, you know, by the time you get to 300 level, you're already thinking about life after school, then you need to start. I didn't want to be that person that would, because I knew where I was coming from. I didn't want to finish school because I expected that, oh yeah, I'll finish school, and then my dad would tell me to come back home, and then I didn't want to do that. I wanted to, you know, go for myself. So I started, you know, sending out applications for internship. You know, and then I had the opportunity to work with some firms then, and then I got paid for my job and all those. I think my first pay was I think about 3,400.
Oh, and how did you feel 3,400 like naira.
It was a beautiful thing for me.
Uh-huh.
Not because I did not really need
the money.
Because I was getting more than enough from home. I didn't really need the money. But it felt amazing. It felt wow.
To have done something.
I think
I
finished it that day.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
I finished it that day because this 3-4.
Oh my God. This particular one I worked for.
I'm going to. This one though.
I think
there was a Mr. Biggs inside the UI then. So,
oh, wow.
And it tantalized us. Yes. So I went there, I think, with a friend of mine. Spent it. He didn't know that was my salary.
Oh my God.
Spent it. We're fine. I felt so. I think so far that has been the first money I would spend, and I won't have any.
I won't feel bad about it because it was just so good for you to do that. Oh wow. You know, talking about just like earning money and then deciding to just like spend it. Like you earned this money. Typically, a person will expect you to save that money or keep some of that money aside. But what you decided to do instead was just, blow it. You didn't spend it.
I'm so proud to say that.
you blew it. So, you know, coming from that kind of ideology that people have that you should actually save money, I think we need to address the fact that a lot of people talk about saving money, talk about investing money, talk about doubling their money, but they don't really talk about earning the money.
Yeah.
Like what to do to earn money. So after that particular time, did you do any other jobs that you actually decided to blow the money again? Or by that time you had a reset and you were like, no, this one is not to be blown.
Okay, so, you know, like I said, the first money was, it was the joy of making my personal money. That was what made me like
do it that way.
It wasn't like I didn't have the knowledge of, even though I wasn't a consistent saver, I knew that I needed to save and all those things. But I, like I said, that money was for
spending.
It was for spending, and I was glad I did that. Yeah. So that should I say fortunately or unfortunately, that was the only money I got out of that firm that I worked with at that point, because a few months after, you know, they went down and they were not operational anymore. And I didn't make money for myself again until I finished school.
Okay.
You get
a lot was of, about how long?
I think about 2 years after.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Because a lot of things, I was just volunteering. You know, I wasn't working for money. I just wanted to feel useful. Okay. You get, over time, I've been working closely with my parents. I didn't really have the chance to, like, you know, see the outside world and all. So yeah, I was just volunteering and doing all those things. So yeah, and I started making money for myself. I don't know if it's a conversation for now, because a lot of things happened between that time and when I started
making money for myself again.
And then nobody told me, I didn't even need to read it in the book, that
you
just have to, as you are making this money, you are saving it. As you are making this money, saving it. I was already opened to finding means to invest or to do things, but I knew that I could not blow that money. Even if it was a 5 naira, I knew I could not blow it anyhow.
Okay, yes. So talking about, like, by the time you decided to start earning money, what were the things that shaped your decision or that informed your decisions on how to make money? We're going to go to, like, what you did to make money, if you're willing to share.
Okay.
But what were the things that informed you? I mean, some people be like, okay, I really want to make money, but I don't like stress. And so I'm not going to do, like, this kind of thing, this kind of thing. So I'd rather do, like, this kind of thing, this kind of thing.
Okay.
So what were the things that informed your decision? Like, okay, this is how I'm going to go about making money now.
Okay, so I think you're indirectly asking about my entrepreneurial journey.
I didn't know that was where it led to.
So you know, I grew up with a family of entrepreneurs. My dad was into business, my mom into business, my siblings and all those things. So, and because I didn't like some particular lifestyle, while in my secondary school, I already knew I wasn't going to, like, you know, go from office to office submitting my CVs. I knew I was just going to start business. And to be sincere, at the point I was like, even if it's managing my parents' business, I don't think I want to submit my CVs and then start looking for jobs. Yeah. So that was one of those things that I always prepared my mind. In fact, that was why I was volunteering, you know, trying to gain experience for life after school, because the business I would do, I didn't know. What I would be selling, I didn't know. Mm-hmm. How I was going to go about it, I didn't know. One thing was constant. I was going to hone my own business. So yeah, after school, I had a little bit of delay in school. So while waiting for me to get done with school, I just decided to, you know, start any business I could. I was first involved in, you know, this middleman kind of, oh, what do you want to buy?
I can get it for you.
You understand? What do you want to sell? I could, you know, sell it for you. But it's like, that wasn't my way. People, you know, people were not looking at that side. People were not looking at that side. So I decided to venture into food business with my business partner at Kwame, and we started selling food and making money. And, you know, basically that was, so it was like a starting business was like a result of so many events. Mm-hmm. You get so many events, delays, challenges, and then, you know, you just have to get started now.
Okay, so, I mean, when you say that it was a form of, it was informed by a couple of events and challenges and all of that, it brings me to the point where I think about my own life. I mean, growing up for me, it was like, please, this is what you're going to do. And like you said, you're working for your parents. I was working for my mom as well. Yeah. And we would, I remember, my mom was a caterer. She used to bake snacks and all of that. So I was literally like working for my mom, but I wasn't getting paid.
Yeah.
I think there's something about that thing that we really need to be.
I think the first time I got something from my dad, it was after I finished doing something. And it was, you know, I just went to our living room to tell him, okay, I've done this thing. And, you know, I gave him the change, you know, the balance. And it was my mom telling him, like, that at least give him something, something now. And like, that was when he called me back and said, "We are thick.
We really need to address
that." Yeah, because like, I was not telling my mom later, but you told him to give me something. You
did not give me something.
you did not give me anything. You know that kind of thing. Yeah. So that basically was it.
Yeah. As I was saying, like when I was growing up, we'd like go work for my mom. We'd bake. We'd take the snacks. We'd go sell them. We'd stay in the shop and all of that. Of course, it was like a normal thing to do.
Yeah.
But I just felt like at that point, like this was me working now. I was going to add those years of experience to my CV, it was something. But the only difference would be that I did not earn anything while I was on the job. Yeah. Then moving forward, I think I got to a point where I went to learn the whole art of baking. I went to catering school.
Okay.
I did my graduation and everything. And when I came back, I was just like, see, henceforth in this house, I'm a graduate of catering school now. Wow. Henceforth in this house, I am not doing any job that I'm not being paid for. Exactly. And you know, my mom just looked at me like this and was like, I was like, mommy, what? I'm going to eat in this house. But I'm just saying, because my mom was so nice that because she bakes, people would come to her. She was like the philanthropist of baking. Every wedding, every birthday, they just come to her and be like, oh, ma. I mean, you plan all your events, you have the all, you have everything. But it's that cake part, because you know somebody that is going to be so merciful and nice to you. And then you come with your puppy eyes and be like, ma, we really want to, but we can buy the ingredients. My mom would just be like, don't worry, Damala will do it for you. I'd be like, mom, see, are you paying me for that job? And there was a lot of fight going back and forth with that. So now it looks like we came from like two different places, because for me, I had to like fight to say, okay, I want to get paid. Nobody was being nice to me to say, take this is money. Like, okay, you've done something for me.
I think the only way I was paying myself for my mom was she sending me on an errand.
Oh my god!
And then you know, maybe after a few weeks, and then she will say, I think I have changed with you. How much is everything now? I don't know. Should be about 1,000. And then I knew that we had like, more than
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
You know, but it gave me, in my head, I knew my mom knows that okay.
you
know,
you were taking money.
That I was keeping those. But at a point also, it felt like she was allowing me to keep it. So I would give her back when she's probably short of cash. And all those things, because anytime she needed something urgently, you just give me money out of
the money I have with you.
you know.
And you were like,
yeah, exactly. So,
accountant.
Exactly.
Okay, so you know, it's been really amazing having this conversation making money, because really, this is the 21st century. What do you want to do without making money?
Nothing.
No, there's like, I think beyond
money is the bicycle.
of the gospel. Every damn thing everything. That you want to do everything. In this life, like money is it. So, and like we said on the last episode of the show, beyond ostentation, like money empowers you to just make choices.
Yeah.
Money allows you to have that free will to do whatever it
money is life.
That. Like more than anything, just earning money is like, what's that thing they say? Importanta. Like, important. It's not just important, it's importanta. Mm-hmm. So, right now, I also want us to talk about this. There's this thing that a lot of people do, or what they say. Okay. And they say, what they say is like, they really don't know what to do. Like, okay, I have a lot of things I can do, but the situation of the country is bad and it's not yielding into money. I mean, we have to put that into consideration. So, before where you currently at, how did you deal with the situation with the hardship in the land? Because Nigeria has been hard for a long time. So, how did you deal? Like, how did you manage to do something, bring money, put food on your table, clothe yourself, regardless of the situation of the country?
Okay, yeah. So, that's like a very good question. And it's a question that sort of brings back memories.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I think I remember the first time I sent my partner Kwame a message. It was me telling him that if it was a Facebook message that, you know, we've been close friends and all, but, you know, after school, we lost communication for about a couple of weeks. And then I said, Kwame, if you know any body that wants to sell or buy things, though, let me know.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, you know, he's a Ghanaian, so he could not go for service immediately after school. And was like, oh, let's even sit down and talk. And then we sat down, we spoke, and then we had a lot of goals aligning together, you know, future goals. We were just talking. You were thinking about, I was thinking about that too. Oh, you wanted to do this? Wow.
Okay,
so,
yeah.
You know, and we said, this is like, let's do this. Yeah. Let's do this. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
and okay, so what should we do? And we know we want to work together. So what should we do?
Yeah.
And they said, okay, let's start selling food. I was like, oh, we had a meeting inside the University of Ibadan then. And okay. And then I started talking to people about getting a space in UI. The money we used to start with.
We don't have.
We were just like, let's just go and get the space.
I can imagine.
We're working with it.
Yes.
We were working with it. And then I think we spent the next 2 months. I visited lecturers. I visited people that I knew. Apples. And then nothing was really forthcoming. Yeah. And then one day we went to visit one of our mentors, and it was around Okeado. And when we got there, we saw, before we entered the school, we saw space like outside. And Kwame was like, ah, Kwame, wait though. See this space, we can use it though. At first, it shocked me, like, how did you see this place? Like, I didn't come here with the intention to spot opportunities. But you know, he said it, and then right, we just told the man that, oh, so I want to use this place. And he said, okay, no problem. And right there and then, after the meeting, we entered one of the classrooms. Do you understand? We started listing what we're going to be using.
Yes.
And then we listed the whole lot of things. Wow, this is money. Oh. This is money. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's do this. You, all those things you used in school.
Bring them pots, back.
Your frying pan, your gas, bring everything. Mm-hmm. Bring mine. You know, his girlfriend was with us then. And then we brought everything together. Oh. Okay, this is what we have. How much do you have in your bank account? I think I had about 10,000.
Oh, wow.
Each one what you have in your bank, I think I have about 8,000. Okay.
18,000.
Okay. Yeah, we could reach out to friends and families and everything. I think I called my mom. She sent me 10,000. And then to cut the long story short, the whole like FNK business venture that we see today started with less than 50,000. Do you understand? Today we are valued at,
It's okay. I understand.
You know, but we started like very, very low.
Yeah.
You get, but, With shared determination, with discipline, with drive, and everything, we were able to like turn it to. It's still a bootstrap venture. Mm-hmm. We received zero funding. Do you understand? But in less than 5-6 years, we've been able to build something great out of it. So yes, it is true that the country is hard. It's difficult to even start. Maybe we were lucky with the space we had, with the timing, and with the fact that I was lucky to find my partner was lucky to find me.
You. Yes.
And you know, some people were not that lucky and everything, because if we probably want to start that sort of venture now, we would not start with 50,000. Do you understand? We're talking about over 100,000,
exactly,
because of inflation and everything. Exactly. So yeah, timing, luck, and everything were in place then. And I used to say to people that will come to me for advices and everything, that whatever it is you know how to do, whoever it is you know how to serve, just be very good. Whether it's God, it's Allah, just be very good and fervent, and then it can work. Even if I've seen people, even multi-millionaires in this Bodija estate, who speaking with them, would say, oh, we started with about 15,000 naira. And you know, so there are stories like that, and there are stories of starting with millions and succeeding, while there are stories of even starting low and not making it.
Exactly.
And there are also stories of starting with
a lot
millions
of money
and still
not
making
it.
So,
exactly.
You know, it's how would I put it? They will say life will
balance.
But whatever it is you want to do, once you believe and you have faith and you can call on God in the middle of the night to make it work for you.
Really, there are a lot of people that are praying out there, and you know.
Life will balance.
It's
also God that says, I will have mercy on whomever I'll have mercy on.
That's true.
The way is a mysterious Lord. So
Okay, so before we proceed, I would like to quickly put you on the spot.
We are there now.
We are there right now. Like if you are
behold.
Okay, so you have just about 10 seconds. Oh my God, you were going to peep into my book. Oh God, no.
I'm trying to be like the last.
Oh, okay, that was peeping into my book. Oh my God.
Yeah,
So you have about just 10 seconds to unscramble the word.
Can you like help me out? Like tell me
the
market.
No expo, nothing at all. Yes.
Okay, let's go.
You can't write this down.
All right.
Nothing. So yeah, your word is spelled C N E R U C R Y.
Why not? Why do you make it so? Okay, can you like you didn't start it very well. I did study very well. Say, okay, well, you have 30 seconds.
Well, your 30 seconds is even like counting down already. Like,
okay, let's.
You have just like 3 seconds more. So if you don't get it now, that's like it. So your word is spelled CNERUCRY.
Currency.
Oh my God.
Currency. Currency. Currency.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I did it.
You did it. You guys
should be proud of me.
Yes, you did it. So the word for today that Folari had to us travel is currency. I mean, before the show, he was like, I really hope I get it. And I'm so glad that you're proud of yourself right now. Okay, so moving on now. We've spoken about
Let me finish.
Taking in the glory. Yes, taking it in.
Okay, yeah.
Shall we proceed?
Yes,
okay,
yes.
Talking about now, making money. I mean, you just mentioned earlier that you give advice to some people when they reach out to you.
Yeah.
What is it like now when it comes to making money? How do you see the world of making money? What do you think you would have done differently? What advice would you give to somebody that is talking to you like right now and saying, see, this world of making money, I don't understand. No clue.
Okay, so I would say that over the past couple of years, I think I've appreciated my parents more.
Okay.
Because sometimes I wonder how were they able to do it. You know, we were three, we attended the best private schools, from primary school to secondary school, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I never paid my school fees late or anything. So I started wondering recently, how were they doing it? Mm-hmm. We're not complaining, we're getting fed and all those things. Because making money is difficult.
Yes, it is.
It is difficult because there are times you make it and then, you know, you are already asking yourself, what happened?
Yeah, where did the money go?
This money is not there. No matter how, you know, frugal you are, you know, prudent you are with your spending, and then you start asking, okay, I saved this amount, I invested this amount, the rest.
The mathematics.
And then, you know, sometimes you just close the book and like, we'll see. We'll touch you another time.
Can't have a day over this.
Making money is difficult. It's also sweet because you feel, oh yeah, I'm getting reward.
Yeah.
What I'm doing is people are accepting my services.
Yeah.
People are, you know, buying into this thing. And
exactly.
And, you know, there are levels to making money also because it's never enough.
Yes.
You make 100,000 now. If you... Unless you make it for a couple of months and then your needs start increasing,
yes,
and then you
exactly.
want to make more. Even
exactly.
if your needs are
don't
not,
need, like,
you want to make more.
The exchange rate
driving,
is even at the price.
You could get a car
right
today.
Now.
Let me give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
When I got my car and I was driving, and then there was this car opposite me. I'm like, God.
God, what did this man?
And then I wanted to like try and speed up and see the man inside. And so I'm young guy,
how
I'm into business, and I can tell you that not everybody is a scammer or not everybody. There are people who make a lot of people who make money
legitimately.
Like, God, I need to make more money. That was like a week after getting my supposed like fine car. I need to make more money. This is not enough. I need to be able to get this, and then, you know, weeks after you see more, and they're like,
and
I just need to make money,
and
you know,
then,
and then you see a lot of things. So then, we live in a world where people are trying to
outdo
each other. You read news and all those things. So making money is difficult. It's
but
also sweet.
We really need to outdo each other.
I'm a business person. Yes, we need to do. Yeah, I believe in collaboration over competition.
Okay.
But there are so many businesses in space, there are so many people, and so you just want your business
to be at the top. Exactly.
Do you understand? And if you want your business to be at the top, it means you need to outdo your competitors.
Okay, I mean, I get it, like when you put it like that, but when we come from the angle of like wanting to buy like a better car than somebody, and just like if that's like the sole purpose,
I just want to talk about some of my fantasies. I talk about getting cars, it's why I used
the car as an example. That's perfect.
Do you understand?
That's
so
perfect.
You that doesn't mean that I don't get that car tomorrow and I don't see a final one and all those things.
Exactly.
So I just use that as an example.
Exactly.
So I believe it's even, you know, the basis of what we do here in FNK Savings. We try to collaborate with businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And our business model is basically about providing financial services,
mm-hmm.
you know, for other business and all those things. So collaboration is good. But also you want your business, you want to be at the top, you want to, you know, make waves and all those things. So that means you have to like outdo your competitors. And so that was what I meant by that.
Mm. like we're almost at the end of the show, mm-hmm. but before we like get to the end of the show, I'd like to ask you, what do you think is the major reason from your experience why people, I mean, I know people that are scared of making money, mm-hmm. imposter syndrome. I mean, some of them can even do these things, but they really can't just put themselves out to say, like, so what do you think has been like a major factor that slows down people from making money or stops them from making money? And how do you think people could just get over it? Because I know we have people like that listening.
Okay, it's a dicey question because what stops people from making money? Or what could hinder them from making money? I could point at it from so different many angles. I could look at it from village people setting. Maybe your village people, no matter what.
Basically,
no matter what you do, they are still there.
Yeah.
Do you understand? And we could look at it from a business angle. You're not making the right business decisions. You're probably scared to take risks.
Mm-hmm.
You're scared to take on new, open up new frontiers to challenge yourself and everything. And, you know, from personal, individual perspective, it could be, I'm fine with what I have. Some people are like that, you know. I've met a lot of people like that. They're just fine. They're not running any race. They are just okay. They are, if it comes, good. If it doesn't come, fine. Do you understand?
Yeah.
You know, and so there are so many things that, but in terms of village people, we know what to do to get them off our back. And in terms of business, I would just say that there is no perfect business decision. Do you understand? It's all trial and error. Do you understand? I was telling my team yesterday, since inception, I'm sure that we've tried over 100 strategies. Do you understand? You keep trying new strategies. If it works good, if it doesn't work, you go back to the drawing board, you try again. And then from the individual perspective, if you just want to be like that, fine. Nobody's pushing you. Do you understand? And if the lifestyle is you just want to keep making more, then go for it. I have this with die mentality. I just have to make it.
I keep meeting more people that want to die. With
die mentality, because unfortunately that's what the world today requires. This is with
Tamatakusilole. Of course. Do you understand? Yes. Okay, thank you so much for that. Before we just like wrap up the show, I'd like to quickly say a couple of things that I consider very important when it comes to making money. Some people call them skills, but I just want to say they're important things. There's a need to be self-assured. You have to be self-assured. You can't make money if you do not have your self-assurance. If you're not confident in the fact that you know what to do, you can step out there. You can boldly ask for what you want, then there would definitely be a problem. Like, you have to actually be self-assured. Please, by all means, self-assurance. Give yourself the assurance. Don't wait for somebody to give it to you. Just give it to yourself.
Yeah.
Another thing you need to learn is how to negotiate and make sales. You need negotiation skills. Like, if you want to make money,
basically no negotiation, no money.
Yes, that's it. Like, that's simple and short. Yeah. You need to be able to manage your time. Like, time management is, because a lot of things are going to be calling for your attention, but you really need to be able to prioritize. See, priority would never be cliche. You have to always be able to prioritize and then manage your time properly so that you can have enough time to do as much things as you want to do, even if rest is part of that. So you also have to be in a position to always learn new stuff. Be open to learning. Being open to learning is one of the best ways to make money, because I mean, ideas are flowing in the air, information is going all around, but if you're not ready to like spot stuff, just like you said, your friend spotted that space, if you're not ready to just learn about new stuff and all of that,
it's super sensitive.
Like, be very, very sensitive and be willing to learn. That is one way I believe that we all can make more money. And also, you need to have communication skills. We don't talk about it enough. You have to be able to communicate. It's not just about saying that you know how to do this thing. How are you making it known that you really can do this thing? You really need to be able to communicate what you do, how you do it, who you want to work with, and all of that. Be able to clearly state it. And also, you need to be able to manage stress. If you cannot handle stress, if you cannot manage it, you're going to break down. You're just going to like fall back and be like, see, Miteshimo, I'm not going again. I'm not doing again. And then, like we said in the last episode, your mental health is really important. So please be able to manage stress. Find a way around it. Learn about it. Read about it. Figure it out. Just do it in one way or the other. Last on my list is persistency. keep knocking, don't give up. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is not to sound motivational in any way, but for real, you have to be persistent. There's no nothing, there's nothing you want to do without mm-hmm. persistency. So yes, you're finally at the end of the show, Folari. How was it for you?
It was fine, fun. Did you have interactive, a good time? especially my win.
Your win, yes. I should really clap for you again. Like, yes, and,
it sort of gave me the opportunity to, you know, get back some memories and all those things. So yeah, it's wonderful.
Thanks for coming on the show. You all know what it is. Please, if you've listened up to this point, I really believe that you had a reason to stay behind. So yes, please do what you always do. Leave a kind review on every platform that you get your podcast from. Follow the pod on Instagram. It's at Before Now Podcast. On Facebook, Before Now Podcast. Of course, it is currently a crime to be on Twitter, so we are avoiding that space. Find me on Instagram at Missy Blissy. Missy Blissy is spelled MissyBlissy. On Facebook, it's Blissy Akinyemi. Till the next episode, ask yourself, what happened before now?